Hello and welcome to The Moral High Ground. This will be a weekly podcast debating different human rights issues around the world. In light of the recent documentary on BBC Two, Life and Death Row, we will be discussing whether the death penalty should be enforced or not. This will be our topic this week. And first, we have Abby speaking in favour of the death penalty.
Hello.
The individual who was subject to the death penalty had committed heinous crimes, terrible crimes. And I've said in the past that there are certain circumstances in which a crime is so terrible that the application of the death penalty may be appropriate.
And then we have Becca speaking against the death penalty.
Hiya.
For 50 years, Private Eye has pretty much in most issues exposed a miscarriage of justice, and a lot of them have been murders. Over the years, large numbers of these cases have been found to be entirely wrong. And the men convicted, almost all of the men, there's a couple of women, have been found innocent. So we would have killed those people, and in some of those very high-profile cases, which involve terrorism cases, we would have made very dangerous new martyrs by executing people who turned out not to have committed the murders involved.
So, Abby, will you start with your first point, and you will have a minute to argue?
Well, to be honest, I don't need a minute, because it's a very simple question. Why is the life of a murderer more important than its victims? Why do we not get rid of this evil in society when we have the opportunity? That's really it. Who does your allegiance align with? Does it align with the victim or does it align with a murderer?
So I won't be arguing that these people haven't done horrible things, but Article 3 of the Universal Declaration for Human Rights states that everyone has the right to life. Who is Abby? Who am I? Who is anyone else to decide when that right shouldn't be extended to a prisoner? In addition to this, it is a massively inhumane process. If we look at it from the American side, they use lethal injection, which is meant to be a bit more clinical. However, it isn't. Out of all the lethal injections, there's been a rate of 7.12 of botched executions. Joseph Wood in 2014 took over 2 hours to die. Just last April, Kenneth Williams took 20 minutes. Both of them gasped for air, coughed, and shook. Also, researchers from Florida and Virginia have measured postmortem blood levels and found that 90% of prisoners would have been able to feel pain and 40% may have been conscious during the executions.
And what levels of pain did their victims have when they killed them, abused them, tortured them?
Again, I'm not arguing that those people didn't do horrible things, but I'll go back to my original point. Who are we to decide when a person's life should end?
Well, we do, all the time. That's what society does. The law does. We argue that in a war situation, our life is more important than another's. Why do we not argue that for the same within our own society? We argue that the enemy is evil and they can be killed, but why do we not agree that there's evil here that needs to be killed too?
I think that war, defence, things like that, are two completely different things. There is no comparison between war and what happens in a war zone and what happens in our prisons, in our justice system. In fact, our justice system hasn't always been the greatest. If we look again, I'm going to go back to the US a lot because they are our biggest, and they are the closest people to us that use the death penalty. Since the lethal injection has been on the cards for the USA, 161 people who were given the death penalty had their cases acquitted or dismissed. That's 161 people that would have died.
Yes, but they didn't, though, did they? They didn't die because this justice system did what it should. It acquitted innocent people after an extremely lengthy process that takes years in the making to ensure that they are, in fact, guilty. These people were not guilty. They were innocent. Therefore, you're right, they shouldn't have been on death row. And they are no longer on death row.
Yeah, but what about the people that didn't get that chance, that didn't get the second chance that they needed to prove that they were innocent or have their cases acquitted? While the judicial and policing system still makes mistakes, it should not be in control of a person's right to live. And worryingly, there's been a greater use of death penalties, which means there's a greater use of a greater chance of mistakes. In a UK setting, just as Ian Hislop stated in the opening clip, it'd be dangerous to create innocent martyrs. This is especially relevant within the case of Ahmed Hassan. Executing him would if the UK had the death penalty, executing him would also give the people who support him resources for dangerous recruitment propaganda. Which would ultimately lead to the loss of more life. It wasn't in his place to decide and control the lives of the people on that tube, so in turn it is not our place to decide when his life should end. As Desmond Tutu said, that isn't justice, that's revenge.
I feel like maybe you should give some background as to exactly who Ahmad Hassan was. He was the Parsons Green bomber, the attempted bomber in London this September. He could have killed innocents in a terrorist attack on English soil. He would have been a murderer. He would have committed an act of war. Yep. But that's completely different. You just argue that they're two completely different things.
He injured over 30 people, and I think that is horrendous. The acts he did were terrible. That you can't argue with that. There is no arguing that. I'm just arguing. My argument is that he didn't have the right to control those people's lives, and we don't have the right to choose when his life ends. He should be locked up. He should be in jail. I agree with that. However, we should not, as a society, we do not have the right to tell people when their life should end.
Yes, but jails are meant to be for one thing, rehabilitation. What rehabilitation do you think is going to happen there? Of all the murderers that go in, they usually end up back within 2 to 5 years, right back inside for another crime.
Our judicial system is meant for rehabilitation. That's basically all that the law is based upon, the fact that people should be given that chance for rehabilitation. Like I said about
theoretically, they get a chance, they've been rehabilitated, they go back into society, they commit another crime, then what happens? They're a murderer again. They're now a serial killer. What do you do then? Do you think they should just rot in prison, wasting our money, our taxes? Do you think they should take a space that could be used for rehabilitating somebody, for somebody who could eventually be useful in our society?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but again, as I was going to say before you interrupted me, our point with the my point with who are we to control someone's life says, who are we to say that this person cannot be rehabilitated? And on the thingy of cost, on the idea that it costs more to keep, it actually doesn't. As the USA proves, it costs way more to all of the studies on the cost of capital punishment conclude it is more expensive than a system with life sentences as a maximum penalty. The trials alone when seeking the death penalty cost on average $1.26 million.
That's a trial. You have to try people. That is how it happens. The fact that they're expensive. I thought you said you weren't going to interrupt me. The fact is, trials cost money. And you can't put a price on the trial itself. I'm talking about that space in that prison where somebody could be rehabilitated. They could be a part of society. But this person, this murderer, will not be part of society. They could kill again. They can kill in prison again. Why can we not remove this heinous evil from our society? And before you say, we are the deciders. As a society, we do decide what the rights and wrongs are.
I will go back to my point. As a society, our laws, everything is tempered by the Universal Declaration for Human Rights. Again, I will say, Article 3, everyone has the right to life. We are not in a position to decide.
Okay, so they have a right to life, but their victims didn't.
No, their victims also did have a right to life. I'm not arguing their guilt. I'm arguing that they also have a right to life, as that is the basis of our human rights system.
Our human rights
Would you like me to continue with one of my points?
Yes,
it is also not an effective deterrent. 88% of criminologists, which isn't, like, you can't say that's an overwhelming majority, believe that it's not an effective deterrent. Since 1990, USA states with the death penalty have had higher murder rates than those without, which is the most obvious evidence that it isn't a deterrent. You can't teach people to kill, to not to kill, by killing them.
No. You can't. I will agree. I don't personally think it's a deterrent, or I can't prove it is a deterrent. But the fact is, it might be a deterrent. You don't know, because the fact is, it's still used in that state. And for another point, when it comes to deterrent, oh, you've killed a murderer, and you don't know if that stopped anybody else from murdering. That's sad. But you don't kill a murderer, they're still alive, and the person who might kill again can continue to kill.
I'll go back to the point I just made. Murder rates in states with the death penalty have, on average, higher than states without.
Are you trying to say that the death penalty increases people's likelihood of trying to kill people.
I'm just saying it doesn't deter people.
But then that's what those statistics say. So is that what you're trying to argue? If those statistics say those states have more people that are going out to kill, even though we might kill them anyway.
No, I will go back to the point I've just repeated three times. It is not a deterrent.
And I've argued against your point and agreed with part of it three times.
So you agree the fact that it's not a deterrent. I've made it clear that it's against our human rights.
I agree. It cannot be proved that it's a deterrent.
So you think your opinion is you should be given the power to choose when someone's life ends.
I believe that society does that constantly.
Even though that end would be painful?
I'm sorry, I don't have sympathy for murderers.
We're not arguing their guilt or the fact that they murdered. And in most cases, it is a horrific death.
Again, I have no sympathy for a murderer.
I just think, in this case, I have the moral high ground.
Okay, guys, can you give your final points for the end of the debate, please?
I'll go first. Mm-hmm. So, basically, as I've said throughout the debate, everyone has the right to life. That is Article 3 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which we've lived by for the past 70 years. It is unethical to kill someone in a way that will cause them pain. In any situation, that is including the fact that they have killed people. That is also wrong. I'm not arguing the fact that at all. But to kill them in the same way makes us murderers as well.
A murderer, one who is malicious and evil, has forfeited any rights that this society deems to give to its citizens. That includes the right to life.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. So if you would like to make any comments or vote on our poll on Twitter to see whether you agree with Abby or Becca, then just go on to our Twitter, which is at @LSJ_moralHG. And please join us again next week for another new debate that will be about another human rights issue we deem adequate. Thank you very much for listening.